Welcome to the podcast. It's a quite a serious one today.
Thank you.
Religion.
Yeah.
What?
Philosophy.
No, let's not do that. Let's do politics. No. All
right. No. Let's chat sex. Religion.
Let's chat religion.
I'll chat religion.
Well, you could.
Ali, you've been chucked out of a religion.
I have.
How did you get chucked out?
Like, excommunicated.
My best mate got chucked out of a religion.
Really? So I want to be chucked out of a religion. I've just got to be a religion.
They won't let you in to chuck you out.
Yeah.
You can't get in to be chucked out because you're godless.
You're the leader of spiderology.
Spiderology.
You are a heathen.
Would you describe yourself as godless or do you have a faith?
Yeah, spiderology. I jump on couches and I yell and scream. And, right. Yeah.
Because I opened pieology.
Okay, you're pieology.
Church of.
Yeah.
And our only requirement was that you have one pie per year. There was no religious aspect of it at all.
Wouldn't you have?
But I wasn't having to pay tax, which was great.
What would be the best... ology then. Like palmology.
Yeah, good.
Imagine
one.
A palm every week.
Oh. Beerology.
Oh.
Boltology.
Boltology.
Yeah.
Yes.
I'd either go Blue Costello-ology.
I thought you were going to say goatology.
Goat. Goat.
Blue Costello-ology.
What's goat-ology?
I don't know.
Or hollandaise-ology.
Oh, such a good
delicious
sauce.
Bacon-ology. Come on.
The goatology, the leader of that would be. That goat.
That's at the end of every hymn.
But that's what did you get? Did you get kicked out?
Yes. I got kicked out because I had two children out of wedlock.
Okay. So they didn't kick you out after the first?
Well, they didn't try. What happens is you go to a church council, it's called, and so they talk to you and say, oh, look, you know, do you repent? You're supposed to be married before you have kids or whatever, have relations. I said, yes, I repent. You know, yes, of course I do. And then 13 and a half months later, I have my son. Still not married.
So you listened to him for 4 months?
No, not really. But they did invite me back for another church council, but I didn't go.
You didn't go?
And then they posted me a letter saying I'd been excommunicated. I must find that letter because I should read it to you. And I just think, how rotten as a 19-year-old girl who's been born into a church, it was actually quite... I don't know.
Confronting.
Traumatic. Confronting and traumatic
I
and
bet
emotional.
It was, Ali.
Because you think about all the, well, not even dodgy people. I mean, most people are up to something, like, you know, or have got a little bit of naughtiness in their past.
Yeah.
Mine was just more Captain Obvious. You can't hide a pregnancy.
Yeah.
Well, for a couple of months you can.
Yeah, I still played in a touch for Carnival at 4 months pregnant because I was so scared to tell my mum or tell anyone I was pregnant.
Oh, wow. I was going to ask, how much were you packing it during that time?
Yeah, really scared. Well, when I told, I even avoided going to the doctor and eventually I went and the doctor said, yeah, look, I think you're probably about 3 months pregnant. I went and had a scan. I was 5.5 months pregnant
because
I was just in denial. And eventually I think I was at a touch footy gathering and my coach actually put it on me. I think I must have been pretending I was injured. I actually can't remember. It was so long ago. And he said to me, because he was my school teacher as well, and we, you know, got on really well. And he just said, Al, you know, are you pregnant? And I said, because he knew I had a boyfriend and stuff. And I just burst into tears.
I said,
oh, my God, don't tell anyone. I haven't even told my mom and blah, 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 blah. And so the next morning, it was a Sunday, and so I just pretended I was sick and I thought, I've got to tell Mum because I'd already had the scan.
Jeez.
And so, yeah, she stayed home from church and I was so scared and I couldn't say the words, so I gave her the scan in X-ray thing and she's like, what's this, what's this? Looking at it and she goes, what is this?
Wow.
And I just said, it's a baby, and just burst into tears and she was like, are you pregnant? She was great. She was amazing.
That's
Shout
good.
Out to the Penguin. You know, she could not have been any better. And then, of course, had to tell the brothers, my brothers and, you know, everyone in the family. And probably my grandmother was the worst. She was quite judgmental. And I think I'd been stopping going to church. So, she was like, oh, I knew this would happen.
So you're happy to be kicked out?
Oh, in hindsight, absolutely. And look. Respect to everyone's religion, but I personally do not go for yeah. organised
Can
religion.
I ask you a question then? Mm. Because my auntie.
yeah. Undie's sister.
No. Oh, no, it was actually just a friend of the family. You know how they're that close, you call them the auntie.
We had an uncle, right. we had Uncle Barry.
Yeah, like an Uncle Barry. She was pregnant, but she didn't know.
Oh, really?
Until right to the 9 months. Is that possible?
Wow. Look.
Crazy. No, this is what I'm asking. I don't know. That's why I'm asking.
I personally have never understood that, but then you keep hearing all of these stories. I had my friend Holly.
She was, let's.
Was she, no one wants to say it, a larger person.
She was big.
Yeah. So, look. How do you say it? He's right to say that, though, Al Dobie, because the people that, the stories you hear, generally they are, and sorry to anyone that has had that happen and they didn't know, but, my friend Holly was living at Walgett. And one of her workmates, nobody knew, and she didn't know. And she was on this long drive from Walgett to wherever. I had these stomach pains all of a sudden.
And then bingo. Wow.
Bingo, bango, there's a baby.
Pick that up for me, would you?
Yeah.
yeah. Unbelievable.
Yeah. Come on, mate. Driving through
Can
the...
you imagine?
Stop it. You suddenly get a happy meal. Tough gig.
Yeah. It's a hell of a way to announce it.
Yeah.
And it's a boy toy. Thanks. Thank you. There you go. Oh, by the way, we're pregnant, honey. Hey, stick around. There's less like that and a little bit more like Ali's pulled an all-nighter and we're going to go searching for the person who stayed awake the longest of all, Spider. Got outbid, thank God, on something. Absolutely. Find out what it was. And we had a chat about transgender swimmers today and we're going to take a phone call from someone who believes that he's in a grey area too.
Top odds for your sports and race betting. There's only one place to bet, and that's topsport.com.au. Gamble responsibly.
Plenty happening in the world of sport. Just a quick one on the AFL. Jordan DeGoey, now a Melbourne he plays in Melbourne for Collingwood, and he's a superstar. He found himself in a little bit of trouble last year. He went over to the US, got charged for harassment of a female, and he got found guilty on a lesser charge. So that was in New York. This was last year, and he had to do 10 sessions of anger management and alcohol treatment. Now, his first holiday, a lot of the AFL teams are on break at the moment. He went to Bali and found himself in some photos with females doing exactly the same stuff that he got caught doing only months ago in the US.
Slow learner,
especially when you're supposed to have done those 10 sessions. So Collingwood overnight have pulled off a $3.2 million contract that they have in front of him. He's a superstar. Mm. He is a gun. So now it looks like that he won't be playing at Collingwood any longer. And they're going to delist him or get rid of him at the end of the year. And look, listen to him. He can turn on a game.
Touched on the way through, DeGoey. Still with DeGoey. Oh, yes. Yes, you knew he could do it because he's a great, great special player.
He is special, Bruce. There is no doubt about it. But the sad thing is they rip off the $3.2 million away from him and there's other clubs circling willing to give him $5
million. Yeah.
The St Kilda footy club said they want him. The Gold Coast Suns here absolutely could do with a Jordan DeGoey.
Really? Are you buying trouble?
No, but this is the thing. When you put him in the right environment,
right,
and Sydney have been able to do that with past players, get players that have gone down the wrong track, straighten them up and make them into superstars. There's no doubt the Gold Coast Suns can do that. I think Stewie Jew and what they've got and their leadership group and the way they're heading, would he upset them? No. Would they improve them? Absolutely he would. That's something, if you've got a DeGoey up at the Gold Coast Suns running around, he would set the place on fire. So start considering it.
I was just going to say, it's a tough one for Collingwood, isn't it? Because he's such a gun. So why they don't want to lose him, you know what I mean? And then all of a sudden someone else snaps him up and you've done all that work developing him.
That's the fun of football. You got to look at your marketing, you got to look at your sponsorships, you got to look at everything. So, it's going to be an interesting story play out over the next 10 weeks. The other one we saw yesterday, the transgender debate continues.
Oh, wow, yeah.
And it's an interesting one because you want to see everybody in the world be able to compete. Mm. If you want to put all your time and effort into competing in Olympics, competing in a world game, absolutely should be allowed to. But there's got to be now, there's realistically, there's got to be a transgender, I suppose, league.
So you're talking about the swimming decision that came out?
But you see it in golf, you see it in every sport these days.
Sure do.
They're starting now to take over, not take over, but they're starting to play a big role in every sport. Where do you sit with transgender? Do you reckon they're right? If you haven't gone through puberty by the age of 12, you cannot compete at a high, high level.
Yeah. Look, I guess as a dad of a daughter and the brother of a girl who wanted to play rugby, it's a really interesting situation because how do we be fair to the women athletes of the world when men are transitioning into womanhood and then competing against them? There surely is a size difference.
Yeah.
There surely is a strength difference.
Oh, and Ali?
Well, and a speed difference, even if you take it away, like, and we're talking non-contact sports and even things like swimming. I mean, I played a lot, most of my highest level touch, I played mixed.
Yep. Would you
now,
feel
no
ripped off?
There's no way I can run as fast as the boys or pass as much of a cutout.
Yeah, right.
As hard as we train and as fit as I was, you're never going to be just quite there.
Should there be a professional comp for transgender? There's not enough. Enough people at the moment.
Yeah,
or?
I don't.
Such
think
a grey area, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
Trying to be fair, Kate Campbell was. Well, you think, Ali? Mm-hmm. Kate Campbell, I thought, was magnificent, saying she wants swimming clubs to be a welcoming place for anyone to come and compete. Mm. But fairly, surely, it's got to be fair. And you know, what are we going to think, Ali?
Oh well, look, the FINA president. I really like what he said. He said we have the right to. We have to protect the rights of our athletes to compete. But we also have to protect competitive fairness at our events, especially the women's category, at FINA competitions. And he said, FINA will always welcome every athlete. The creation of an open category will mean that everybody has the opportunity to compete at an elite level.
And
so maybe this is the answer, open categories in different sports.
Yeah, I think that's a good idea. And definitely the 12-year-old limit is a great idea.
Yeah, to have gone through puberty by 12. So there goes. Grant Denyer's have a chance of going in.
Okay. You guys talking earlier on, a short time ago, about transgender athletes. And Pete in Helensvale has called through. G'day, Pete.
Not so much transgender, one for the portly fellas, you know. Yep. We could call it trans-slender.
Trans-slender.
Yeah. I feel marginalised. You know, I wouldn't mind being able to compete at the elite level with the physique I have. I don't identify as fat. I believe I'm trans-slender.
Hey, can I ask you, Pete, what sort of preparation do you have before a game day?
Well, a lot of bicep curls. Usually a liquid diet.
Mate, I am so on your side here. As, look, as a person who identifies as a solid gold dancer trapped in a fat man's body, I'm hearing you.
Mate, you and I come from the same cloth, mate.
Thanks, Pete.
You better just make sure that cloth is super stretchy, Flank.
Hey!
Hey!
It'll be lycra, don't worry about that.
SM, small market.
And if it lets go, I'll knock a small building over.
Yeah, I had to just laugh. Last night I was, I want to try and buy an old car, you know, one of the, an old Chevy, an old Ford Fairlane, and they've got a couple of auctions at 782 Motors here in Narang, and there was online yesterday. So
that's exciting.
I was bidding away, and I had Grandad on the line, and this is why we asked Tom Tate just moments ago about has he ever won or lost an auction?
The Wallabies jumper or whatever I'm passionate about, put my hand up and overpaid. You know, I donate it to another auction that you're going to, and then you do that, and you go, oh, my God, I paid $3,000 for that. It's only at $1,000, so I stick my hand up again.
He's very generous at auctions, I've got to say.
But you do. You get stuck in the moment, and last night we were stuck in the moment.
What happened?
I could see it reached our limit, and it was 2 minutes to go, and we're like, Granddad, what do you reckon? Because he loves his cars.
What did he say?
We'll go up a little bit more. So we went up a little bit more.
How much is a little bit?
Oh, a couple of thousand. And then, well, you're talking luxury cars. These cars aren't cheap
as it is.
Is it
a Chevy Impala you're after?
No, this is a Ford Fairlane convertible.
Oh, real
it was
early?
Nice, yeah. It was all original. And then suddenly, it went up. Got outbid 1 minute to go. Granddad, what do you reckon?
What happened?
Oh, a little bit more. And
how much over what you originally wanted to spend did you go?
Oh, we would have gone just, yeah.
How much?
10K.
Oh.
we got outbidded, so I was happy.
Oh, thank God.
An hour afterwards, I said, yeah, absolutely, yeah, that's good, because we got too excited in the moment. Has that happened to you in the moment? Like, I was just... I really wanted it, and then I'm happy that it didn't go through.
I'm like that with hamburgers. 20 bucks, no problem.
No problem. Oh, well, you're lucky you got out because, oh, 10 years ago, as you know, I love my ex-husband, but seriously, sometimes he just has an absolute Barry Crocker. I reckon this would have been about 10 years ago. We went to a juvenile diabetes ball.
Yep.
Some very close friends of ours, their son, Braden, was diagnosed with diabetes at 18 months old. And so anyway, here we are at this ball and there's all these auction items there and they bring this one out. Oh, it's a diamond necklace from Wallace Bishop and they're pumping it up and the guy says, oh, valued at $1,500. Can I start the bidding? Can I start the bidding? And then this woman yells out, $2,000. And everyone's thinking, geez, love, like maybe start at 1,000 or something.
Yeah.
Anyway, I kid you not. So she's gone 2,000. We're all looking around going, what a doodlehead. Next second.
Yeah.
Next second, 2,001. And that was Steve.
I hate people like that.
He's outbid her by $1. And the worst part is I don't even wear jewellery. Now, as you all know, I've had some very dear friends staying up here. They're from Tassie and they're award-winning hairstylists, actually, and they were doing the hair of some of the people, the actors and actresses for the Logies.
Okay. Yeah.
So that's how we ended up back at the Channel 10 after party, and it was here at the Sofitel. Now, I made an exit, or we made an exit, at 4:15,
yeah.
Okay, in the early hours of Monday morning because I had to come to work. I was
professional.
I behaved, semi-behaved.
Yeah.
So we walked back to their hotel. They're staying here at Beach Haven, or they were, just down the road. Got changed into my work clothes. They walked me back to work.
Yeah.
And I thought that they were then going back to their hotel and going to bed. Not so. They decided to walk down the road, go back to the Sofitel and continue partying in one of the hotel rooms, okay? So unbeknownst to me, this is all going on. They ring me after work. Oh, where are you? Where are you? Have you finished yet? Yes. So I said, come on, come back. I'll walk you back to the hotel. Useless. But then they live in Tassie, so they had to get a flight, which was at 12:55.
Oh, no.
Okay. So, and it wasn't enough time for them to go to bed. They had to pack all their stuff.
Yeah.
So then they flew from Gold Coast to Melbourne.
Yes.
Where they had a little bit of a standover, had to wait, and then back to over.
Oh, man. So world of hurt day.
It was something like 36, 38 hours. They were awake straight.
If that was me and the plane landed in Melbourne and was then off to Perth, I would have woken up in Perth.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's
I would have woken
thing.
Up in the toilet in the airport.
Yeah.
Well, I said, didn't you sleep on the plane? No. One of them had about 20 minutes. Ben didn't sleep at all.
36 so hours.
And also in amongst disgusting. That, you know, you had the party and the stress of doing all the hair of the actors and
everything. What's the longest you stayed away?
Yeah.
When I first started working in radio and telly at the same time, I'd finish my radio work at about, I'd be awake from 9 o'clock Thursday night to 1 a.m. Saturday morning.
Ooh.
Doing radio through into a telly show and then go home. There was times where I couldn't have driven my car home. I had to get a cab home and I was completely sober.
Boy, yeah.
I was just asleep in the cab.
Well, we want to know, 1300 925, what is the longest you've stayed awake? And quickly before we go to the calls, Rod McLeod.
Rodders. I think this is one that all parents can relate to, our youngest Bradley. Mm-hmm. It was either teething or something like that. He was a little bit crook. Anyway, he was up all night. And I'm talking from 6 p.m. right through to 8 a.m. And grandmother, God bless her, came round to see mum and dad with their eyeballs hanging down somewhere around our chin.
Are you taking a baby, mate?
Yes.
Make him go away. I think normally the 30s would hit me, 40s. We got Brett in Surfers Paradise. Brett, what's the longest?
Hey, guys, how you going? Well, I was living in England at the time and when the Rabbitohs got the 2014 grand final, it was one way home. So I had a bit of a stint with the Rabbitohs back in the early 90s.
Yeah.
And so I went down in the suit. We had the VIP and obviously we won and that was the after party. And then it was the after party, then the after party. I finally escaped at midnight on Wednesday night. I went to the airport at Coolangatta. I had a suit on, had cut-off sleeves, My pants were cut off. I looked like someone out of Gilligan's Island.
Oh, my goodness. Brett, what's your surname, or don't you want to tell us?
No, we better not do that.
Oh, mate.
Okay.
Oh.
Thank you for listening to the podcast. We will do our best. I can't back that up. Give us a... fucking dang it. Thank you for listening to the podcast. We're 92.5, the Gold Coast's Triple M.